Praise the Lord. Just before you're seated, turn around and look at someone and just tell them, today, you are going to learn how to live like a boss. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then you can go ahead and take your seats. Thank you to the worship team. That's the title of the message today, Living Like a Boss. Living Like a Boss. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read one verse, and then we're going to get into what it is that the Lord showed me and what it is that I believe that we need to hear in this place today. And there's going to be more scripture. We're going to be reading some scripture just so that we can see what it is that God wants to say to us today. But let me ask you a question before we start. How many of you have been through stuff? Trial, torment, trouble in recent times. Let me see your hands. Something's happened, trial, torment, struggle. Amen. Anyone? Anyone in the house? Amen. And sometimes what happens is when trial, torment, and trouble comes, we can get under it. Are you with me? How many of you have ever got under it? You know, that's it's not just a London saying, is it? Man, I'm under it. How are you feeling? Oh, I'm under it. That's, you know when things mither you, as the Northerners say, or, you know, when you just get bogged down with stuff and it seems as if it's accumulating and grinding away at you like the teeth of a wolf nibbling at you somewhere, like, nyang, nyang, nyang. That's trial and trouble and tribulation. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Before, I'm so excited about this, before we go on, even me breaking it down, I want to let you know right now that whatever it is that you're going through, that light, it might seem like you're under it. It might seem like a heavy problem. It might seem like a heavy burden. It might seem like something is pushing you down. Something has been holding you back. Something has been nibbling away at your well-being for a long time. It might be a thought. It might be a fear. It might be some sort of problem. But it's in relation to God and everything else. Number one, it's not that heavy. It's light. And number two, it ain't going to last forever. And number three, guess what? It's working for you. It ain't working against you. It's working for you. You the boss. Oh, come on now. You have to understand this. I'm going to break this down so you actually get a hold of this. You actually can get a hold of this. Because once you get this perspective and this paradigm in your spiritual life, you'll understand that you can live like a boss. You don't have to live like an employee or live like a slave. But you're not slave to these problems. You're the boss of these problems. And how you understand the word of God and the will of God will determine how you walk as a Christian and as a person throughout this life that you live. You have to understand this. This is the word of the Lord. Because it is working for us. And the reward of it is a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I'm going to break down some stuff. How many of you know that when you're a follower of Christ, you can be sure that you'll have a bit of opposition at one time or another? Come on now. It's a fantasy to think or believe that we will never have to suffer. Even as followers of Christ. That's a fantasy. I don't know where that ever came from. It's not just a modern Western phenomenon, though. The Pharisees used to think that. They used to think and associate worldly success with superior spirituality. It's not just, you know, that's a modern thing, right? For the last two decades, this myth and this fantasy and this dangerous deception has come up, across the church that says to us, that worldly success equals superior spirituality. If that's the case, then Jesus was a failure. And so were all the disciples. Come on now. Where did that lie come from? That gets people so apathetic and so pathetic in their Christianity that they get so worldly minded that the Spirit of God is not working in the way that he wants to throughout the world, because the church is more worried about now and what they've got now than what is happening in eternity. Are you with me? How many of you know what I'm talking about? This was even back then. And who was it that came against Jesus and his teachings? It was the Pharisees, right? Because they didn't understand that this itinerant preacher who came from nowhere, who came from Galilee, so they thought, was going around doing all of this stuff. How could he be from God? When they, the ones that dressed right and did the right thing and said the right thing and wouldn't do anything wrong according to the 613 laws of the Tariag. There was only 10. They added another 603. And then Jesus came along and chopped them into bits and said, there's only two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That sums up all the law, and all the other 611 ain't worth toffee. Check that out. They came against him. Ooh, well, he hasn't got anything. He hasn't got a massive chariot. The robe that he wears might, you know, might be all right, but he hasn't got this, and he hasn't got that, and he hasn't got this, and he don't do that, and he don't do this. Surely he can't be that spiritual. We see it in the world today. Some of you have probably come under it. Some of you, you still come under it because you're always listening to all this nonsense. You don't even know where the teachings come from just because they're on the internet and the person's wearing a white suit or he's got a big church or he's got a big crowd in front of him. You think, oh man, just because he talks about how many BMWs he's got or how much money's coming in or he's got a big fat diamond pinky ring, you think he must be spiritual. Let me listen to everything he's got. And if I haven't got that, then I can't be doing too good. Right or wrong? Huh? And so sometimes we struggle with a little bit. We don't, you know, maybe have enough money to get this. We struggle along in our little car or, you know, we have a little job and we do this little thing and we think, oh, if I pray, then God's, you know, where's the money coming in? Where's the doors opening? You know, where's me good-looking husband, me good-looking wife? Where's this? Where's that? I'm single. I'm unsatisfied. I'm, you know, I'm sick. Surely I must be, you know, something's wrong with me. And, you know, me kids are going through this and that's going through that and there's trouble in the world. And, you know, when I became a Christian, all of a sudden people started talking about me and, you know, where is that? Surely I'm doing something wrong. In actual fact, you're not. In actual fact, you're in the right place. Come on now. It's all right. It's only a light affliction. But for a moment, amen, we think that we suffer with this and with that. The Pharisees put a lot of emphasis on this idea that worldly success equaled a superior spirituality. The reality is that Christ suffered, and so did his apostles, and so do we. Mad things happen. Come on, somebody. Huh? Mad things happen. Anything mad happen to you ever as a Christian? Especially when you're just about getting right. Huh? And what happens is we think, oh, I ain't going to pray no more. I ain't going to fast again. I'm not going to do the right thing no more because as soon as I do, all hell breaks loose. Mad things happen and they can come from all sorts of directions. And the mad thing is, check this out, it don't matter if you're doing good or bad, mad things are going to happen. Right? When you're doing bad, mad things happen. Because you kind of step into a place of madness. You put yourself there. When you're doing good, mad things happen because God puts you there. The fact is, and the truth is, and something that we have to absorb and take a hold of is that in this world you shall have trouble. It rains on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Not just the bad or the ugly. Amen. Even the good get rained on, especially in Manchester. So you have to understand, trouble is not necessarily an enemy. Suffering is not necessarily something that you can avoid or should. But what you have to do is you just have to walk like a boss, trusting in God, and whatever comes your way, instead of going under it, you stay above it and you let God use it to bring about His glory. I'm not going to get into the old reason why we're allowed to suffer as believers, because the answers will probably surprise us and shock us. Because let's face it, we keep getting caught up in a trap of our immediate comfort instead of our eternal destiny. You know, we're in a world, we love comfort, we love our stuff. We was at a men's conference yesterday and there was a dude there that carries a cross all over the place, right? And he started carrying this cross all over the place, and it's not the old guy that they've made films about, it's a new guy that stepped up. He's a southerner and lives in Cheshire, he's a really good guy. And he carries this cross all over the place. And at first he started carrying a cross. The Lord told him, I want you to carry the cross. No, first he had to walk with a big flag, like a banner, proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. He was like, what? That's mad. That's like fraggly Christian stuff, you know what I mean? And he walked from John of Groats to Land's End carrying this banner. And he said, I had a mobile home with me and I had a support team and you know what I mean? We planned it all out. He said, and then the Lord said to him, I want you to carry this big cross. He's like, all right, cool. And he started getting on the phone, getting his mobile home, getting his stuff and that. And God said, no. He said, you're not to take any money and you're not to plan out your stay or anything else, and you're not allowed to ask for offerings. He said, I want you to walk all the way across Ireland like that. He was like, what? It's mad enough I'm carrying a flag, now I'm carrying a cross, and I haven't got a pot. Nothing. Not a bloater. No money. Nothing. No, nothing. Imagine that. Amen. And he did it, and guess what? He said he never went without a bed, a roof over his head, or a meal. And when you step out from your comfort zone, man, that's when freedom comes. But how difficult is it to get out? It's like Christians have a kung fu grip on comfort. Are you with me? It's like we have a kung fu grip on our comfort. Oh, you would have to get us away from comfort is like prizing our dead kung fu fingers off of our comfort. And sometimes God has to put us through some stuff and allow us to go through some stuff to get us off the immediate so that we can concentrate on the forever. Sometimes we don't understand that, we don't like to hear that, but it is the truth. I believe we simply need to accept what God allows and look instead at what these type of tribulations bring for us. Like a lady by the name of Amy Carmichael said, she said, I cannot remember in the Bible a single explanation of trial. We are trusted with the unexplained. Warren Wiersbe, who's an author and a theologian, he said, God's people live by promises, not by explanations. He also notes that there are over 300 questions that didn't get answered in the book of Job. Amen. How many of you want to spit your dummy out when you ask God, you know, why this didn't happen and he don't tell you? And then you spit your dummy out, you take your toys and you want to go home. I'm not going to play anymore, God. I'm that's it, I'm off. Because I've asked you these questions and you haven't answered me. Has that ever happened to you? Huh? God doesn't have to give us answers. He gives us promises. That should be enough. Because he's faithful. And what it means is that we have to trust him. Oh, come on now. When the writer to the church in Corinth wrote to them, he was of the opinion, and it says, if you read back, you can see that they were going through stuff, things were coming against them. You know, they were living, you know, in fear of death. There was madness happening and all the rest of it. All sorts of stuff was coming against them. And he said this, he said that, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. He was of the opinion that anything that happens to us is just a light momentary problem. It's like saying that whatever you're going through is nothing heavy. What are you going through? Nothing, Evie. What are you going through? How is it? It's not going to last forever. Can you see the change in perspective? How many of you know that when you're in a horrible situation, you feel like it's going to last forever, right? Women that have ever been in labour, you know, you think it's going to last forever. Oh, get this thing out of me, right? Men that have had a cold. Oh, I'm dying. I'm going to die. Pray for me. Man up, you snivelling wretch. Come on. What's the matter with you? This word light here is a Greek word, elephros, and it means light or easy, right? This light affliction. You know this, this is the same word. Check this out. It's the same word. It's used twice in the Bible. It's the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 11 when he said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, for I'm humble and gentle of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. It's the only other time that word's used. It's used with the burdens that Jesus gives us and the afflictions that the world puts upon us. It's the same thing. There's a joining up there. Are you with me? God wants us to know that we are the boss of the situation. He's in it. He's with us. He ain't going to let us go through something that's not going to benefit us. Do you understand that? Unless you're in sin and what you're going through is self-inflicted, in which case, he's going to let you go through it to destroy your flesh, but he's always going to be there giving you the option to get out of it. If you're doing the right thing and you're going through something, he's still with you and it's working stuff out in your life. See, there's stuff that comes and it's horrible. And this word affliction is the word thlipsis. And it means this tribulation and trouble. And literally it means anguish or a burden or persecution or trouble. And it means like a gnawing away, like a nibbling, like a constant kind of bugging, a constant, you know, gnashing. That's what that word tribulation means. It's the same word they used to use for the thing that they used to use to fresh grain, where they'd smash it and thrash it and smash it until the good was separated from the bad. That's what tribulation does. It separates the good from the bad. Are you with me? And it's light. It's not hard. It's easy. And it's not for long. It's just for a moment. Then that word work. It's working is a word that means to work fully, to accomplish, to finish, to fashion, to cause, to perform, to work out. See, everything that happens is happening, has happened in your life. God has allowed it. He's in it. He's over it because he wants it to cut away all of the stuff in our lives that is giving us that kung fu grip on stuff that is holding us back from being everything that we've been created to be. Oh, you ain't catching this. You ain't getting it. Too excited yet. Because it's hard, right? How many of you know, some of you, you're walking on this narrow path called Christianity and you're trying to walk on it, carrying all of the burdens of the world, all of your attitudes, ambitions, all of your feelings, all of that stuff, all of your negativity and your opinions and all of your fears and all of your sinful desires in a great big sack. And you're trying to squeeze through the narrow door and you shuffle up the narrow path. Right? Carrying your old attitudes, come on now, selfish, worldly attitudes, that it's all about me, right? It's like that song, it's all about me, Jesus. That's a lot of Christians sing that song. It's all about me, amen? It's all about what I think, what I feel, it's all about what I'm going through. The world revolves around me. Amen. How many of you ever felt like that? And you won't let your kung fu grip fingers be prized off of those old attitudes, things that you can't take into heaven, that you're not allowed to take into hell either. Naked you were born and came into this world, naked you leave. You ain't going with comfort, worldly comfort, anywhere. Not into heaven or to hell. Come on now. So just let God chip it away, chop it away. And what he's doing is you're holding on to this thing like you're just holding on to it. You're gripping on to it. My comfort, my ambition, my attitude, my feelings, my desires, my rights. Pastor, stop it there. Stop it there. Time out, Pastor Paul. Surely we have the right. We got rights. Surely I can't be spoken to bad. I have the rights. And yeah, there's stuff that bugs us, gets us, you know. If someone slaps me on the cheek, I'm going to knock them out. No. You turn the other cheek. Well, I'm going to curse my enemies. No. You bless your enemies. Oh. I have rights. God. Then you don't belong to me, says the Lord. Oof. Shaka. Huh? And all of the while, God's kind of allowing things to come into our lives to prize our kung fu grip away from stuff that is stopping us from progressing to be where he is and to have what he wants to give. See, while your kung fu grip is on the things of the world, you've got no room for the things of eternity in your hand. Amen? So all this stuff is trouble and trial, but here's the thing. This is the revelation. It's working for us. It's actually working for us. It's actually our employee. God has commissioned it to work for you. You're not working for it. It's working for you. It's not telling you what time you clock on and clock off. You're telling it what time it clocks on and clocks off. And the reason and the way that you do that is through your attitude to it. If you have a problem that is causing you to lose sleep at night, then that is your boss. But if you understand that this problem, even though it's a real problem, is actually working for me, then I'm going to bed right now. Clock off. You can come back and start work again in the morning until you've produced what it is you're supposed to produce, but you don't tell me what to do because I'm the boss. Oh, come on now. Huh? But how many of you, that thing that's meant to be working for you, you end up working for it? It's like being a manager and your employee is telling you what to do. Oh, come on now. Huh? You're the boss of the situation. You're the boss. And it's about a mentality and an attitude of understanding that God is with me. God has allowed it. God wants something to happen from it. It's producing for me something that so far outweighs. That word that is exceedingly, it so far outweighs is a word hyperbole. It's where we get the word hyperbole, which means just so far beyond, so exaggerated that you can't even comprehend it. It's like hyperbole would be saying that West Ham are the best team in the world. Now, it has an element of truth, but it's so far exaggerated, amen, that's what he's saying. The reward of what you're going to get, what you're going through, is so far exaggerated in its scope and in its feeling. And you can't even comprehend it. It smashes that thing to bits. Whatever you're going through is nothing compared to what it's making, what it's causing, what it's producing in your life. One day when all is said and done and we get up before the throne in heaven and he looks at us and he says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. He's going to look at us. There's going to be stuff that we take into eternity that is of eternal value. Come on now. There are rewards, the Bible says, for what we go through now. And to him that overcomes, and to him that overcomes, and to him that overcomes, the Bible says, I will give. We think that we have to, oh, I'm giving up so much. No, you're giving up stuff that you can't take forward to receive stuff that you're going to take into eternity. Are you with me? It's heavy, man. You are the boss. You are the boss. It's working for you. You're the boss of every situation, every problem, every opposition, everything you suffer has been employed by God to produce something for us. And we decide what type of employee is going to be, a productive one or a non-productive one, based upon the way that we deal with it. If you let it take liberties, it's going to take liberties. If you give it instructions, it's going to listen to the instructions. Trust me in this. Isaiah chapter 48 verse 10 says, this is the Lord. He says, I have refined you. But not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. Woo. To give us value so that our value shines out. Every problem you're facing right now is refining you. It's producing something good by removing everything bad. Woo. Check this out. Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3 from verse 14, there's some boys there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Young men of God, gang warriors, amen. Graduates of the men's home, come on now. Wherever they were, right? Nebuchadnezzar, the king, said to him, is it true, guys, that you refuse to serve my gods or worship the gold statue I've set up? Are you not bowing down to MTV, cussing and swearing, having babies all over the place without any type of commitment? Is it true you just take drugs and go out partying and steal and rob? Is it true that you won't do that stuff? Is it true that you won't do what the world tells you to do and what I tell you to do? Is it true you won't bow down to just getting ahead, being selfish? Is it true that you won't bow down and worship all these things? If you refuse, man of God, stroke woman of God, you're going to be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. You ever had that decision to make? Where I can take the easy route and compromise, and I'll escape the flame, and I'll escape the trial, and I'll escape the turmoil, because I'm going to tell a lie. It's only a white lie. I'll just tell them what they need to hear. I'll just compromise. But the compromise is going to take me the easy route. And I'm going to not go through the fire, but I'm also going to be with the enemy. Or are you going to stand up for what's right and get thrown in the fire? If you refuse, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then, what God will be able to rescue you from my power? See, you have to understand, the enemy of our souls has power, right? Satan has power. I heard this yesterday and it's tremendous. At the fall of mankind, Satan didn't gain power. He gained authority over the earth. He had power, right? He's a created being, but he's an angel. He had power, right? He gained authority. At the cross, when Jesus stripped him of everything and won the victory, he didn't lose power. He lost authority. Come on now. He lost authority over the earth. He lost authority over sin and death. He lost authority over our souls. He still has power. He can still mince your mind. He can still come with sickness and affliction. He can still, you know, put pornography all over the internet. He can still, you know, put darkness, gang warfare, drugs and violence and war all over the world. He can still, he still has the power to influence that. But he does not have authority over this earth anymore or over our lives or over the way that we go through this world. He doesn't have that. Jesus has given it to us. He said, all authority I give unto you to trample upon snakes and scorpions, that by no means should any of these things harm you. He said, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Huh? What God is going to save you from my power? I tell you what God is going to save us from your power. The God that has all authority. Look at what I said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you. Check that out. Start saying, yeah, whatever. Huh? Yeah, whatever, king. Listen, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, The God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you've set up. That's heavy. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. Husbands, you know what that face looks like. When you come in late, you ain't done the washing up, you haven't done the hoovering, you ain't done this, you ain't done that, and your wife comes in, she's tired, she's been putting the kids to bed, or she's been bringing them back from school, and you just ain't done it, and you're there sitting down with a cup of tea watching the football, all of a sudden, you're looking into the face of Nebuchadnezzar. Come on now. Huh? We know what that means. It's scary. I'm scared when Vicky looks at me like that. She comes in, I look at her kingly. I pick up my tea, I pour it in the sink. Turn the telly off. You even turn the channel over when you hear the car pull up. Come on now. Done the washing up yet? I was just doing it. I got an important phone call. Come on, man, you lie. You lie when that face appears before you. His face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. You sleeping on the couch tonight, boy? No dinner for you tonight. Huh? I'm watching a drama tonight. Heat up the flame. Come on now. Huh? Then he ordered some of the strongest men in his army to bind. Watch this. To bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Huh? And then throw them into the blazing furnace. There you are. You ain't buckled. You ain't bowed down. You've stood your ground. You're doing the right thing. You're praying. You're fasting. You're coming to church. You're being consistent. You're being committed. You're not, you know, being casual. You're not compromising in any way. You're doing the right thing, right? Watching the right stuff, doing the right thing, paying your tithes, doing all that, praying, doing good. And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose against you. Ever happened? Come on now. Ever happened? Some of you ain't putting your hands up. Obviously, you don't live right then. You've never done the right thing. Even when you're doing the right thing, sometimes you get sick, things happen, your body breaks down, things come against you. Come on now. You're like, God, what's happening? But you hold your ground. You get bound by this stuff. It might be a sickness. It might be a problem. It might be a financial thing. It might be an opposition from a person, within or without. Whatever it is, car might break down. Are you with me? Huh? You're bound to it, tied up. You got no freedom, and then you're thrown into the fire. You're in it now. You're in it. But listen, just because you're in it don't mean you have to be under it. Let me say that again. Just because you're in the fire doesn't mean to say that you have to be under the power of the fire. They went in, and it says they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, which is handy, their turbans, their robes and other garments. In other words, they was kitted out. They had their armor on. Come on now. They had their equipment on. They went in, boom, just as they were. Crash. Tied up, bound. Powerless. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. Check this out, man. This is a revelation. You need to understand that when you stand your ground, when you hold on to God in the midst of opposition, even though he sends his best against you to bind you and afflict you and kick you into the hottest, maddest time of your life, God is even using that because there's someone of the enemy's soldiers is getting taken out just by you standing your ground. see, you might have stood your ground, and all of a sudden, the temptation that was coming against your brother is all of a sudden not going to come against him because it's burned up in the flame. The sickness that might have been coming against someone else, all of a sudden has been taken out because you stood your ground. See, it's not just about us. It's about everything God wants to do through us, in us and through us, in us and through us. See, the soldiers got taken out because they stood their ground. Check that out. That's mental. Demons get messed up when you just stand your ground. Even when one demon comes against you and gets you into a mad situation, if you stand your ground in God, then some of the other demons are going to get taken out. You're the boss of this thing. Oh, you ain't catching this just yet, but you get there. Huh? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, powerless, fell into the roaring flames. Thank God. It ain't about power. It's about authority. Suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed." You're in the midst of it, but you're not under it. You're in the midst of it, but you're not under it. You went into it bound. You stand in it loosed. You go into it and nothing happens when you stand your ground. Except the things that bound you fall away. Ooh. Some of you have been struggling with an issue for a long time, and you've prayed and you've fasted and you've done all the right things, but that thing still keeps coming back. What you need to do is, instead of running away from the confrontation, instead of running away from the temptation and the affliction, instead of running away, just stand your ground and hold up your hand and say, "God, I trust in you. You'll either deliver me from this, but if you won't, I'm going into it. I'm going into it." That don't mean you rush into the crack house. That don't mean you turn on the pornography. But what that means is that you just stand and you say, "No, I am going to do my God honor and glory in this situation." And then you'll go in it and you'll go through it and you'll feel the pain and you'll go through the opposition. But that which bound you when you went in will no longer be there when you come out. Are you with me? Are you with me? Huh? God uses stuff. There's 4 men, Nebuchadnezzar said, unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants to the Most High God, come out, come here." See, when the enemy realizes that what he's put you through to hurt you is actually helping you, then he's going to be the first one to release you. Because he ain't stupid. You know what I mean? He's cunning. Amen? He's cunning. "Well, I'll put you in that to hurt you, but you're in it and God's with you and he's helping you. My goodness, get them out quick before they grow a bit bigger. Get them out quick before all them other things that are stuck upon them start melting as well. Get them out quick because they're holding on to God and that's what God wanted. The only reason I could bind them is because God let it." Huh? But now, he ain't letting it no more. Ooh. Come on. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them, saw that the fire had not touched them, not a hair on their heads was singed, their clothing was not scorched, they didn't even smell smoke. Amen. And they weren't even eating extra strong mints. Some people come out of the fire eating extra strong mints. You know that they ain't quite give up everything in there. Come on now. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Amen. The devil will bow down. The devil will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will flee from the presence of God. They can stand not before him. Even though they come with their wiles and their schemes, which we're not unaware of, they cannot stand before the presence of God in your life. He has sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command, were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. Their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other God who can rescue like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions. So you go from thinking you're a slave to understanding you're a boss, to holding your ground in the opposition and the trial. You go in bound by the enemy's schemes that he thinks is going to take you out, but is actually releasing you from the stuff that he has tried to bind you in. God's too good. You come out free, you come out clean, you come out glowing, and then you get promoted to the next level of your life. You get accelerated to the next season of your life. Your capacity's grown, there's more of God that you know, that you trust. You have more of a testimony because you've been through more of a test. You can come out and you can declare that my God is good all the time. His mercy endures forever. I trust him in this, and if I trust him in that, the next time I go through something, I'm going to trust him again, because he does not change. He wants me to change, and I know I can, because he does not change. There is no change in God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if he did it before, he'll do it again. If he delivered me from sin and brought me from darkness into light, he can take me from addiction into freedom. He can take me from depression into peace of mind. He can take me from a low self-esteem into the confidence that I can have in God. He can take me from all of that darkness and he can put me into light. He can take me from feeling like I am the last or the least or the lost to understanding that I'm the best in him, and he wants me to become better in him. And I can understand, because I am the boss of this situation. I'm not going to let it overcome me. I'm not going to let it cause me to lose sleep, or I'm not going to let it take away my health or my well-being. In fact, all it's going to take away from me is that which is stopping me from sleeping at night, that which is stopping me from having health and well-being. All I'm going to allow you to take away from me is that which doesn't look like Jesus in my life. In fact, you can have all that stuff. You can have all the flesh. You can have all the negativity. You can have all the pain. You can have all the shame. You can have all the guilt. Take it away. My kung fu grip is off that stuff. I don't care about my rights. I am willing right now, God, because my attitude is that I'm the boss of this situation, and I finally had the revelation and I understand that I am willing to lose my life for your sake. And in the losing of my life, I'm gaining your life, and I'm becoming everything that you want me to become. I'm a better me because of what I've been through holding on to you. That thing that the enemy sends against me to hurt me, you've allowed it so that it can help me and I can be free right now. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son and a daughter of the living God. I am not going to carry shame or guilt. I'm not going to carry those things any longer. I am the boss of those things. I'm going to walk like a boss. I'm going to live like a boss. I'm not going to be under it anymore. I'm going to step over it. I'm going to walk through it. I'm going to stand still in it. And I am going to trust in my God, who is my deliverer, that he is going to come at the right time. And listen, Jesus went through everything we go through, yet was without sin. Even though he doesn't stop you from going into those situations sometimes, he's always going to be with you in it. Come on, lift up your hands. Stand to your feet, lift up your hands. Come on, you've been going through some stuff and it's confused you as to why. Why am I going through this? It's because God is fashioning for you your destiny in him. He's shaping you so that you fit into his plans. He's not our waiter that we click our fingers and he fits into our plans. We wait upon the Lord and he lifts us up on the wings of eagles so that we fit into his plans. And he cuts away and allows to chop away and burn away everything of our lives that doesn't resemble Christ. and that will not fit into eternity. You ain't taking your flesh to heaven. Father, in this place today, I pray that there will be a paradigm shift, that there will be a perspective change. I pray that instead of feeling defeated and under the situation, that your children, oh God, would see you in it, trust you through it, and would rise above it and come out completely free, glorified to a new degree, open, filled with you and with your love and with your joy and with the certain knowledge that no one can snatch us from your hand, no one can rip us from your grasp, that if you are for us, then who can be against us? Then that slight affliction, that is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. Listen to me. It goes on, it says, talks about that which is unseen is eternal. That's the real thing. You can't see it happening around you. If you could, if God would open up your spiritual eyes and you saw all of the demonic and angelic activity, if you saw the hand of God in your situation, if you saw the flames around you of demonic opposition and oppression in this world, but then you also noticed that Jesus was right there with you, my goodness, it would change your life forever. It would change your mind. You'd never worry about anything again. You wouldn't lose sleep over a problem. You would just give it to God. Very quickly, I know time's gone. Very quickly, if this altar was the fire, if this altar was a fire of change, a fire of release, a fire of turmoil and stuff, you know, but you knew that in the fire was freedom, would you step into it? Would you step forward or would you hang back because you don't want to go through stuff? And you know what is the thing? You know, you've been through stuff before, but you've been through it wrongly, and you didn't go through it as a boss. You went through it as an employee. It told you what to do and how to feel and how to think. This time round, you're going through it different. And when you realize the beauty of how God works and moves in that situation, you know, when I learned this, I'm telling you this, not from a book, not just from a little revelation that I had from the words on the page, but I've had this revelation because when my wife went through cancer, this is when I learned this lesson. I learned it then. That God, I accept what you allow. I don't know what it's going to bring about, but I believe that you're in it. And that since she's been through it, she walks with a limp, but with more authority. She walks with a limp, but with more anointing. She walks with a limp, but with greater leadership. She walks with a limp, but she walks with Jesus by her side. And it don't matter who comes against her, they will fail. It doesn't matter what words are sent against her and what curses against her and our family. We don't receive them because we know that our God, he's able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we ain't bowing down because he's always been there with us in it and he'll take us through it. And whatever we go through, we're going to come out better than when we went in. So bring it on, man. Stop holding back. You know what I mean? God, help me to change. Help me to change. Help me to change. Amen? Don't shout at the enemy. You notice what they did? They were very honoring of the king. Your majesty, your king, this, that, and the other. Even the Archangel Michael, when he was contending with the devil over the body of Moses, did not give a reviling word, but said rather, the Lord rebuke you. All that punching the devil in the eye and calling him names and calling him a sissy and all that, stop that stuff. That's going to get you slapped and you deserve it. Amen. He is who he is. He's got power, but he's defeated. And we have authority. And you walk like a boss. Amen. Hallelujah. Come to the altar right now, quickly. Just for a minute. Just make a response to God and say, God, I'm changing my mind right now. in my situation. I'm changing my mind right now. I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my thinking.